This podcast has been certified spooky by Alternate Reality. Alternate Reality is the trusted name in Halloween-themed podcast, and if it doesn't say certified spooky, then it's not an Alternate Reality podcast. Look for the certified spooky seal on all episode art and the certified spooky message at the beginning of each episode. Thank you.
You're listening to Alternate Reality, Episode 382, Avengers Review.
Alternate Reality is a podcast about comics, comic-related media, and comic-related merchandise. We do reviews of all sorts, TV, video games, movies, and comic issues. So be warned, the following show material contains spoilers. If you have not read your books, seen the movies, played the games, so forth and so on, then you may want to stop the show until you have done so, or you can proceed at your own caution. You have been warned. Hello and welcome to Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. My name is John.
I'm Charlie.
And with us on the phone is Nuggie99, Mr. John Limmer. Say hello, John.
Hello, John.
And we are here this week to talk to you about the latest edition of comic book movie that has come out. The latest thing, the newest thing, the thing that every fanboy has been waiting with bated breath for the last 3 years for. We're talking about Avengers 2, The Age of Ultron. Actually, there's no 2 actually in the title. It's just Avengers Age of Ultron. But this is the big tentpole summer movie. This is Marvel's big deal. This is the all their little ancillary films, the Ant-Mans and the whatever else is, all kind of circle around, and this is the big boy. And this is bigger than anything that DC's currently got going on. This is, where superhero movies are concerned, this is the big time. And so we've all had a chance to see the movie this weekend, and we're going to offer a brief synopsis of kind of what happened and what we thought about it. And we will talk to you and let you know how we feel. Just to be on the safe side, you should know that we are going to talk about the show, we're going to tell you what happened during the show, and we are going to spoil the show, the movie. When I say show, I mean movie. And so if you...
So we're all clear. Then.
Yeah, just so we know what we're talking about. We're talking about the Avengers movie that we all watched.
Not the TV show.
Not the TV show. The Avengers TV show that's not on. Or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or any such thing. So we're going to spoil it. We're going to talk about the plots, the details, the character development, so forth. If you've not seen it, you may want to wait. Come back later and listen to this after you have. Or you can go ahead and throw caution to the wind and proceed. It's your call. All right. So this is the second installment in the Avengers movie. But does it really feel like, you know, Avengers 2? Or does it just feel like the next movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Because I think at some level, isn't that what they're trying to create? That's the feel. Is that all of these movies are really a continuation of each other. This is, instead of Avengers 2, this is just Marvel Cinematic Universe Chapter 7 or 8.
You're right, John.
I go with that.
Thank you, Charlie, for that quick agreement. That's not new, usual for you.
But the end, we're done.
Do you not want to be here? All right, Nuggie, how you feel?
I enjoyed it. I mean, is that... You know, plenty of action, a few quips here and there. Plot rolled through, no glaring plot holes that I saw, which I usually don't, but that's...
I don't notice plot holes or plot development. I just notice explosions and stuff. So that...
I just want to see people get punched in the face and stuff blow up. That's really all I'm looking for.
And you're like so many Americans in that regard, in daily life. But still, it was a good movie. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I told Charlie, you know, we were talking beforehand earlier. I said, you know, structurally and developmentally, this movie was probably better than the first one. Because the first one, you had to go through the team building and the tearing the team apart and the team coming back together. So we didn't have to fool with that in this movie. And so the movie could spend more time focusing on the villain. It could spend more time, you know, showing character development, how they come together as a group, and how there's sometimes tension in the group, but they work through it. So this movie, I think, on all points, is a superior film to the first movie. But you still come out of it with something less than an awe-inspired feeling because you already got that from Avengers. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because it's not... Yeah. It's not it, I don't know how the best way to describe it. You know, once you've seen whether the only I said it this way, anytime that you have a superhero movie, and we as fanboys just, oh my God, we look forward to superhero movies, right? And so, or sci-fi fantasy movies or whatever we're into. There are only a couple in the history of all moviedom that I can remember where you actually walked out going, oh my God, that was way better than the first movie. All right, Superman 2 is the first reference that comes to mind. Superman 1 was fantastic, but Superman 2, at the time, was mind-blowing. And then the second one being The Empire Strikes Back. Because Star Wars was, you know, A New Hope was pretty good. It really, you know, got people interested in the world and stuff, but Empire was amazing. Other than that, most every other movie, whether it's Tim Burton's Batman, whether it's Wolverine, whether it's X-Men, whether it's, you know, the Blade movies, whatever else that we've watched, Spider-Man, the multiple iterations of Spider-Man, it always feels like that second movie, that second installment, always falls short to the feeling that you got when you first saw the first one. And it's because when you first see the first one, you're just so elated. It's such an almost natural high to be there in the moment watching that movie, that it's hard for you to for the second one to compare, because unless they do what Superman 2 or Empire Strikes Back did, which is completely blow the first one away, then it can be equally as good or maybe even slightly better, but because you're used to it now, it doesn't measure up somehow or another. So I think that's that. When I walked away from this movie, I said, that was a really good movie, but I'm not elated the way I was when I walked out of the first one. Because when I walked out of the first one, I was like, oh my God, it was an actual Avengers movie. Did you see that fight scene at the end? And Captain America and Iron Man are shooting the beams and it bounces off the shield and hits the bad guy. And the Hulk is jumping on buildings and stuff. I was like, oh my God. You know, well, you've already had that now. So this is more of the same to some degree. And even when me and Charlie used to talk about when we were reviewing comics weekly, we would talk about, well, this book was just as good as it was last week. That's all we really can say about it. You know,
mm-hmm. Well, the same thing is we didn't want to say, hey, this book was really great this week, but we don't want to keep making it pick of the week because then it just runs into being
ridiculous. You just go over the same thing every time.
We'd be like, yep, Saga number 12.
Good again.
Saga 13, better.
Still good.
Yep.
Still awesome. You end up making the pick of the week some book that was not as good, but it's your first time you get to talk about it. Or it, for some reason, it stood out above and beyond the normal books, you know. So that's the only bad thing about movies and comics or whatever that are consistently good, is that it's hard for any one installment to distinguish itself from the rest. So
I mean, I will say there are some things in this movie that I liked way better than the first one.
Okay, those things being?
But there would be some things that were kind of the same.
Okay, so elaborate.
Some of the fight sequences were much the same as they were in the first.
Right. Massive amounts of collateral damage, big, awesome, inspiring.
I think in this movie you had better character sequences and better, more relatable characters.
Right. And the bond that we all want to exist between our Avengers was there, and so we all connected with them as a result of it.
I definitely liked Hawkeye way better than I.
Well, yeah, they made a point after the last movie of saying, we need to do something with this guy.
Yeah.
But do you feel like, after seeing Hawkeye's role in this movie and the introduction of his family and stuff, if you're Hawkeye, why do you do this job? Because at any time you could not come home to your family.
Why does the soldier go out and fight?
Well, he's drafted. I feel like Hawkeye signs up for this.
He's drafted? You're telling me that everyone in
No. Drafted? I'm saying a lot of times in history that happens, but
no, I'm just saying he's the local guy. He's like Captain America, right, from first movie.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not small enough that he can't fight, but he feels like he should.
Right. As a family man, I'm just saying for me, it would be very hard to leave my family behind every time knowing that I may or may not come home.
Well, that's like I said, there's a lot of soldiers that are like that way too.
No, you're right. You're right. I don't say anything. You're not wrong. Okay.
Cops do it. I mean, firemen.
And if the Avengers win a fight.
Let's keep interrupting Nuggie every time he talks.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I sit and be quiet, and then when I try to talk, he'll interrupt on me. But, you know, if the Avengers were in a fight and then they ended up losing or had some losses, he would always wonder if he'd have been there, could he have prevented that, stuff like that. You know, it feels pretty bound, maybe.
Right. So, yeah. But I thought that was an interesting part of Hawkeye's character, which is a massive departure from the comic books. Now, what do you want to bet that in the coming months and years – Hawkeye doesn't have some little side family on the side in
the
comics.
Well, it's not, though.
They just... I've seen a trend over years that when they do something major like that in the movie universe, it tends to become reflected in
but
the comics.
But what I'm saying is, mm-hmm. he had family.
Well, but he's always been married to
in
Bobby.
In the Ultimate Universe, he had wife and kids.
Oh, did he? Okay. I don't even remember that, but okay, I'll take your word for it.
They were killed in, like, the beginning of Ultimates 2 or something. That's why he donned that purple mask with the bullet symbol on it. Remember the target?
Yeah. Everybody will have to forgive us. We were all a little choked up, whether it be allergies or colds or whatnot. Okay, so so let's just give a brief kind of synopsis of the movie. The movie opens up, and they're on search. They're searching for
the scepter.
All right, so they're attacking.
The scepter.
They're attacking the castle in.
When you can't find the scepter, where is it at? Sokovia.
Sokovia. I can't remember if this place is Markovia, Latveria, where. I don't know. It's.
Someone said that like it's probably the birthplace of Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver,
mm-hmm.
because they're not Russian, and they're not really Latveria next to German. They're in that Eastern Bloc.
Right. Just some miscellaneous unknown country in that Soviet bloc. Yeah.
That's why they didn't see this coming.
So it appears that Baron Strucker has got the staff and he's using it to enhance people. Therefore, we get the introduction of Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, who in this universe are not mutants because Fox owns the rights to all mutant properties. And so they're not mutants.
They make it apparently. their intention to make sure that they know that these are not mutants later on in the movie.
Right. And so they go out of their way to tell you that. No, they're enhanced humans. So they have a major hate for Tony Stark because at some point in their childhood it was Tony Stark's weapons that were used against him. And it only makes sense that the guy whose name is on the side of the weapon intended for them to die.
Well, isn't it funny the whole like the circular relationship,
mm-hmm.
how that happened.
Right.
Because you remember in the first Iron Man movie what happened to him.
Right, he was attacked, he was blown up by his own bomb.
Yeah, and it said Stark right there, whereas his exploded, theirs did not, and created the fear.
Right.
That they kept wondering about.
So, they have a hate on for Tony Stark, and to some degree, I feel like they're playing off this idea of anti-American sentiment that exists in the world today, and that's a true thing. I mean, if you go anywhere around the world, from Paris to, you know, Australia, you know, or anywhere, all points in between, there's like this around the world, except here, and some here, there's this like anti-American sentiment that all countries kind of don't like the United States, whether it's because they view us as industrialist or some kind of large empire that's trying to butt their nose into other people's business or whatever the case may be. And so people don't like the United States. And so this idea of this Soviet bloc country who automatically doesn't like the United States and therefore the symbols of the United States, which the Avengers are, particularly Captain America, but Tony Stark, which is a symbol of American capitalism and greed, so forth and so on. So I feel like that captured the element of that just a little bit. So they're in there, and Strucker realizes his number's up. He surrenders, more or less, but Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver get away. But they relocate the scepter. Thor's like, finally, we have the scepter. And he's like, well, Tony Stark's like, okay, we'll bring it back. But can I borrow it a couple days?
Well, it's like, we just want to run tests, make sure it's safe. You know?
Yeah. Make sure there's nothing wrong with it. We could learn a lot from it. Would it be all right? And Thor's like,
but, you know, we're going to return it after the party. You coming to the party?
You coming to the party, right? Party. So we find out during the intervening
revels. Time, that's what they called it, revels.
Revels. And so we find out in the intervening time that Tony and Banner are working on an artificial intelligence called the Ultron program. Because Tony, during the last battle at the castle, had it in a thought implanted in his mind by the Scarlet Witch that the whole world was going to burn and he was going to watch it happen because he didn't do enough to stop it. This motivates him to go above and beyond rational human thinking and violate all morality and all sense of what is crossing the line or what's overboard or what's too much, and create this program that is a peacekeeping robotic army, more or less, with a sentient AI program that will protect the world so that the Avengers don't have to. And that they would, when Thanos comes or some other invading army from outer space comes, they would rise up and protect the Earth. All right? But he needs a working AI, and Jarvis is just not good enough. You know, Jarvis is, a good, house maintenance program, or works good in Tony's suit, but it's not robust enough to control a whole army like that. They need something better. And so they get to inspecting the crystal that's in the staff, Loki's staff, and they realize that, oh my God, it's basically an AI, which was a real leap. You know, it's like, oh, the inner workings of this crystal works just like thought. There's neurons firing. And so what they basically do is they download it and put it into the robots, and Jarvis activates it inadvertently. And now Ultron, who's...
Well, he didn't inadvertently. He just kept...
Well, no, I mean...
Running experiments.
Right, he was running experiments. He never meant to loose it, is what I'm saying.
That wasn't his fault, because when Ultron became sentient, it just
more or less took over. Yeah. So when Ultron goes online, kind of like Skynet, when he goes live, then he immediately becomes self-aware, attacks Jarvis, the Jarvis program, and destroys it, or so we're led to believe. And then immediately, downloads his consciousness into robot bodies. And so while they're at the party, at the end of it, when it's just the main Avengers there and they're all having the contest to see who can lift Thor's hammer, Ultron more or less comes out and makes his idle threats about, you're all stupid and you all are your own biggest problem and I'm going to destroy you. So we go from there to realizing that now the scepter is gone again. The robots have absconded with it. Ultron's a real danger. They're all mad at Tony. Because Tony, wasn't satisfied just to be happy and have a win and let Thor take the staff back home. No, you had to mess with it and create the next big earth-shattering event. Thanks a lot, Tony. And Tony is unapologetic about the whole thing, more or less. I mean, I'm sure he didn't mean for that to happen, but he really is like, no, I was trying to save the world. I'm sorry this went sideways on us, but it was not my intention for that to happen. So there's arguing back and forth, and we do some of that quibbly arguing through the whole middle third of this movie, probably. Or maybe middle two-thirds of this movie.
Yeah, it really didn't stop until, where they went back to Sokovia.
So... Sorry, we got slightly interrupted. All right, so now they're looking for the scepter again. They got to find Ultron. They got to track him down. Ultron is that typical AI that can just be anywhere, and also he can transport through the internet. He can be in any machine. He can be in any body. He can be in all the bodies at once. So Tony's entire robot army that he's created, he can manifest himself in any or all at once, or some or none, wherever he wants to be, he can be. And so first thing he does is immediately make himself a big, cool, awesome body. And so he's got James Spader's voice. How did we like James Spader's performance in this?
to me, I...
Did they do motion capture on him?
Yeah.
Because I thought so, because in certain ways, in certain scenes, when he's talking and he turns his head, I was like, I've seen James Spader do that.
See, that's why I didn't like it. I didn't care for the whole character design of Ultron, especially the moving lips and mouth. Because to me, it takes away from the menacing
robot part face. Of it.
Yeah. And it's just, they use James Spader, but they give him way too much character, I think.
Well, I agree with you. I could have done with less animation on the face. But it's as far as his characterization.
No, I'm saying, you know, he was way too emotional, probably.
So you think an artificial intelligence would have been more cold and more logical?
That's kind of how he is in the comic books. He's not like...
So, there were scenes...
He goes from being, like, emotionless to murderous, you know?
Right.
And there's no making jokes or...
And there are scenes where he's angry. And there are scenes where he's upset and where he's begging the Romanoff twins to help him and stuff like that.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like I think they...
Not Romanoff. Maximoff. That's Natalia.
Nat.
So then we get the middle part of the movie where now they're trying to track Ultron down, and they find out that Ultron is seeking vibranium, which we get a cool reference to Wakanda here, because you know they're getting ready to introduce the Black Panther movie in the next few years.
Yeah.
And so we got a good reference to that.
Who do they go visit?
Huh?
Who do they go visit?
Who is that?
The arms dealer.
I didn't know who he was.
It's Claw.
Oh, is that Claw?
That was Andy Serkis.
Okay.
Gollum as Claw.
Cool.
Because he gets his hand cut off.
Okay.
To where
the... Well, I didn't put it together because I didn't know his...
Well, I think I think in your movie theater, I think they cut a reference to it because I saw it on Friday, and I think they actually mention him by name.
Oh, really?
He goes, oh, yeah, Claw. And he's like, because Tony's doing that whole thing. Well, there are conventions. We just meet people. It's not like I directly talk to him.
Right.
Which is funny because when Claw tells him when Ultron and him speak, they have a thing where Ultron says something that Tony said before that Claw has heard before because they've directly had contact with each other. Which is another way that Tony lied.
Right.
About his past.
Well, that's Tony Stark. He's always lying. So then we, you know, so Ultron gets away with the vibranium. And you initially think, oh, he's got vibranium. It's the hardest metal in the world. He's going to make himself a super indestructible robot body. But that's not what his intention is at all. He ends up trying to make...
But he does do that,
too. Well, he does do that. But he ends up making for himself the Vision body. And his original intention with the Vision, and I'm not sure how this differs from the comic book, but his original intention with the Vision was to make for himself a new body. With the comic book, I don't think that was the intention. With the comic book, he was trying to make a next generation, next level version of himself, not himself in that body. You know, he was trying to have his own form of an heir or his own form of a son, if you will. And so that's how I understood it from the comics. But in this, the whole purpose of the Vision's body is a better body for Ultron. Because he's trying to download his consciousness and he only gets like 30, 40, 50% or whatever. And he keeps getting interrupted and he has to stop the download. Which the fight scene with Captain America on top of the truck was pretty good. You know, Ultron is really kick butt in this movie. And Captain America by himself fought Ultron to pretty much stand still. So I was really impressed with that fight. That was a good fight.
Once again, they were kind of useless with that Hawkeye.
Yes.
Because they were like, yeah, there's a private jet leaving the airport. That's probably him. And Hawkeye's like, nope, he's in that truck down there.
Hawkeye saves the day again. So they end up recovering through much fighting on the interstate and robots flying a truck trailer around and Natalia and Natasha. Clint. Natalia and Natasha, whoever.
Don't get them mixed up, man.
Who's Natalia? Is she somebody else that I need to know about? Anyway, Natasha and Clint end up like getting the Vision's body out of the truck at the last second before it crashes, and they take it back to headquarters. And immediately, Robert Downey Jr. says, "Hey, we've got to create that artificial intelligence we were trying to create initially." Well, this leads to another big fight, and the Maximoffs come in, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, and disconnect the whole thing before it can be completed. But it's okay, because the Vision wakes up anyway. Now, having the full mind capability of Jarvis, more or less. It's not completely Jarvis, but it's what's left of Jarvis's personality downloaded into the Vision's body.
Yeah, because Ultron had been downloading his brain.
So right, so it's kind of like a combination of Ultron and Jarvis. Like a
baby.
But Jarvis seems to be the dominant personality. He's got Jarvis's voice and Jarvis's sensibility of right and wrong and what's good and stuff. So he also...
Well, you remember what he said. He goes, "I'm not Ultron. Ultron likes death. I like life. So I'll do whatever is possible to keep life from going on."
Well, and it's an interesting exchange that he had with Ultron at the end before he killed Ultron. When he was like, Ultron goes, "They're all doomed." And the Vision goes, "Yes, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't acknowledge the beauty of them while they're here."
Yeah, he said something beautiful does not mean it's going to last forever or something like that.
So I thought that was an interesting line. But anyway, so now with the Vision on their team, they all are pretty, you know, confident that they can win. The Vision now has the use of the Mind Gem, which is embedded in his forehead, and that's not going to be a problem in a later movie. And so from the Infinity Stones, and so he's got the Mind Gem in his head, and so now they go to fight Ultron, and Ultron is literally deciding he's going to create an extinction-level event by lifting the whole country or town or whatever, a big chunk of Sarkovia out of the ground with, I'm not sure what kind of technology he's using, but it's basically just some kind of propulsion engine thing that's lifting it up into the air. And when it gets high enough and he drops it, it will create like an extinction level event, like an asteroid hitting the Earth when the dinosaurs
were. Well, it's funny because he earlier says in the movie, he's like, meteors, they're beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah.
So he like kind of foreshadows what he's going
what he's going to do. So they get up there. Well, I mean, there's thousands of people still in this town as it's levitating up in the air. So the Avengers are now forced to both fight Ultron while at the same time trying to rescue these people,
which they can't because there's no way to escape the city.
Right, because it's miles in the air at this
then,
point.
Then bum, bum,
here comes bum, Nick Fury, who is supposedly retired, but he just happens to be around.
And he just found a helicarrier.
Hey, guys, I'm Nick Fury, and I've just showed up with a helicarrier that nobody knew I had. And
we cleared out the mothballs.
Cleared all the mothballs, got it out of storage, and, you know, had to change oil and kick the tires a little bit, but it's ready to go, and we're here, and we can get all of these people on the one helicarrier, I found a little hard to believe. Because a city that size would have had thousands and thousands and thousands of people in them, and I just don't know that
they probably had a couple thousand people, but still
the
helicarrier.
Helicarrier is a good size helicarrier, but it's not as big as that town.
Well, it doesn't really matter. They don't need it for that long.
I'm just saying. Done. My thought was, would the helicarrier even hold all them people? But that's neither here nor there. So everybody gets on the lifeboats. And they go get on the helicarrier, except for a few people at the end, and they're trying to race around and save them. It is at this time that Hawkeye leaves the safety of the lifeboat and goes back to try to save a kid. But
big boobied woman's kid.
Big boobied woman's kid. But he gets caught in the crossfire.
Come on, you weren't thinking of the same thing you saw it.
I didn't say anything.
I was thinking the same thing, so I will admit that, yes.
And so he gets caught in the crossfire, and he's going to die. And you're thinking, oh, no, not Hawkeye. He's got the family at home. He can't die. And it's at this time that Quicksilver sacrifices himself to save Hawkeye and the kid and pushes him out of the way and takes the bullets himself, and Quicksilver dies. Sorry, spoilers. Quicksilver is dead. Which was a shock to me because of the two characters, I felt he was the most likable. Of the two new characters, the Maximoff.
He's supposedly like the most arrogant of the both of them.
Well, in the comics, he's annoying as frick, but in this movie, he wasn't quite so bad.
Language.
Sorry.
Oh, can we mention that whole thing?
So So to run back a little bit, during the whole initial fight scene at Strucker's castle, Tony uses an expletive during the fight scene, and when they hear it over the comm, Captain America goes, "Language." And Tony was like, "Are we seriously not going to talk about the fact that he just called me down for bad language in the middle of a fight?" And they make a thing out of it in the rest of the movie. It's really kind of funny.
I think the best one is when Nick Fury comes up with the SHIELD helicarrier and Captain America goes, "Nick Fury, you son of a bitch," like that. And Nick Fury goes, "Oh, you kiss your mom with that mouth?"
So... But like I said, it was the running gag through the whole movie, but it was well done. Well, there were several jokey parts of the movie that were really well done. I liked Stark and Thor comparing their women at the party. And he goes, "Yes, it's all true. They are great women, but Jane is better."
Well, one of the ones I really liked was Hawkeye. And he's like, "We're fighting a robot army. I'm shooting arrows at people. You can control their brains. None of it makes any sense."
So,
I really did enjoy him in this movie.
Yeah, he was
like,
good.
I mean, like, the whole, like, them driving through the island on Sokovia while it's a mile up in the air, and him talking to Natasha, be like, "Yeah, I'm thinking about using this kind of wood for the back porch just to finish it off." And they're just like talking about regular day stuff. I thought that was pretty cool.
I like the part where Quicksilver runs past and says, "Try to keep up, old man." And he pulls back his bow and aims at him and says, "Yeah, I could kill him right now. Nobody even know. I just say, Ultron must fell on him. I don't know. What's going on?"
Nobody know. I just say, "Yeah, I feel bad for the kid, but yeah, no one know."
A little quick prick or something like that.
Yeah. He's like, "Yep, no one know."
So they continue to have the big fight. It ends up being Stark and Ultron for the most part, because Ultron hates Stark because he sees him as a father figure. Again, a departure from the comics where we know Hank Pym created Ultron. Captain America is mostly doing rescue stuff. Thor... spends a good portion of the movie trying to figure out what his vision means. Thor finally gets some revelation as to the Infinity Gems and what they're all about.
I thought it was funny. Like, no one had any realization that the Infinity Gems were around until Thor had his nightmare vision.
Yeah.
Where, like, Idris Elba comes up to him, "You've killed us all." "What? Infinity Gems? They're here on Earth? What?"
"Oh, you mean the Cosmic Cube and the Ether from my movie and the staff are all Infinity Gems?"
And the orb, which we just saw briefly in Thor 2.
Yeah, and then the thing that the Guardians of the Galaxy have that we don't know about, that they're all Infinity Gems. Okay, got it. And so
I think that was a little bit of a stretch, that he would have an all-knowing vision he would...
That Selvig went and took him and dipped him in the pool of all-knowingness, and he figured it out. So,
they say men who go in this pool never come out the same.
It was almost like a Lazarus pit, but with knowledge instead of healing.
How funny was it that, like, Selvig was totally, like, responsive in this movie?
Well, yeah.
Like, whereas in Thor 2, he's crazy running around without his pants.
I said,
seriously, he was in that movie for basically comic relief and nonsense, and he was utterly nuts in the Dark World. In this movie, it seems
he got
like
his
he's
wits
teaching
back about it. Yeah, he got his wits back at the end of Thor. So, but you know, I've said it again based on the first Avengers movie and then Thor 2 and this Avengers movie. Like, Selvig is maybe one of the greatest untapped potential resources in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They just don't realize what all this guy knows and how resourceful
he
can be.
Well, he helped create the force field from the first Avengers movie.
Yes. So, I mean, he
discovered the child's child's storybook from Thor, which explained everyone who the
Norse gods were.
The Norse gods were.
And the world tree. And how that works.
Where no one had a clue. Everyone's like, "I don't know who this guy is.
Wait. I found this book in the library. It explains it all."
It's this children's book talking about Norse gods. Y'all don't know anything about Norse gods? Let me tell you.
You see, right here in this page 3 illustration. I don't know. I hope they've got him on retainer to do more movies in the future, because I enjoy him every time he's on screen.
He is fun.
So long story short, they end up fighting against Ultron. The Vision was awesome. I wish Vision had gotten more screen time, but I realized he wasn't actually created until the last, you know, fifth of the movie. But, you know.
But that's the thing. It's like, how many more people were they going to keep in this movie?
This movie did have everybody in it, right? So,
I mean, they were fighting, even though he had appeared earlier in the movie, they were fighting Ultron at the end. And who shows up with S.H.I.E.L.D. and Nick Fury? War Machine, of course.
Oh, yeah. War Machine's in it. So you've got ancillary Iron Man characters. You got War Machine in it. You've got the ancillary Thor characters. You've got Selvig. You've got Idris Elba as Heimdall in it. You've got...
Ancillary Captain America character
is Haley Atwell as Peggy Carter is in it.
Falcon
shows up at the end. So this movie has got every B-level character that we've been introduced anywhere in any movie coalescing in this one movie, with the exception of all of their love interests. You know, Pepper Potts not in it. Jane Foster's not in it. They referenced heavily, but not in it. So it was a little odd. But I was like, oh my God, they brought in Idris Elba. Oh my God, they brought in Haley Atwell. Oh my God. And I just kept doing that. I'm like, wow, they've got everybody in this movie.
But so I gotta wonder, like, okay, you know how like they say like some of these people were signed up for 8 or 9 movie things?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that's a bunch of crap now?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if they were,
because
the 5 minutes that Idris Elba is in this, does this count as one of his Marvel movies?
But from what I understand, though, the guy who played Strucker signed up for like 8.
8?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
how
like,
often then can they use him?
That's what I'm saying. He,
you know, the Red Skull's only ever been in but one.
They murdered him in this movie, so. So that
well,
would technically
I guess it's
only
eight.
Be his like third or fourth like Marvel appearance.
8 if we need you. Not necessarily 8 we will use you.
He'll come back.
Or it could be a reference, a time flashback or something like that. So you never know. All right, so long story short, they fight Ultron to pretty much a standstill. And at the end of the day, when they get ready, Tony figures out how to dismantle this thing and lower it down without destroying the world. And what it basically decides to do is there's no way to do that, so we got to give everybody off the isle of the floating island, and then me and Thor have to destroy it, which, long story short, they do. And so we end up having flying rubble basically hitting the ground instead of a giant island.
Big, huge rubble.
Yeah, some of it was huge.
No, I'm saying instead of one big rock, they got...
And apparently the Hulk can fly an airplane. And knows how to turn off computer monitors and stuff like that.
Well, at that point, do you think it was Banner in control of it? Because I think it may have been.
Well, I sometimes wonder how much of what the Hulk does is Hulk and how much is Banner anyway. The way they're playing him.
Yeah.
Now, when other iterations of the Hulk, when he's Hulk, he's Hulk. And when he's Banner. But it seems like the two personalities heavily overlap in this iteration of the Hulk.
Is it they took like everyone in this movie, like some of the B-level people from the first movie that didn't get the best lines, they give them to the other people in this movie?
Example.
Hulk. Or Bruce Banner. Yeah, I think I'd remember if I made a murder bot.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Well, like I said, the whole thing with Hawkeye, most of Scarlet...
Well, I said that they really expanded his character after everybody bemoaned the fact that he did nothing in the first one.
Black Widow.
Scarlet Widow, I love that.
Her whole, like, arc was better, I thought.
So finally, the Vision ends up killing the last Ultron bot, and they have the touching conversation that I talked about. And you're left to believe that at some point that Ultron is dead.
Vision had good lines.
But... Vision is worthy to pick up the hammer, by the way.
I don't know how I can get you all to trust me or not.
But we need to go. Boom, and he hands the hammer over. Everybody just kind of, okay. And then they're debating about it at the end. It's a machine. It doesn't count. He's not worthy. He said, you know, you put the hammer in the elevator. Elevator goes up. It's not worthy. So, which, you know, did you notice that they changed the line from the party in the trailer? Where Tony asks, if I lift the hammer, do I get to rule Asgard? And he said, oh, yes, of course. And he goes, I promise to be fair but cruel. And then in the movie, he didn't say that.
Well, he did.
He said, I'll reinstitute some kind of rule.
Prima Nocta.
Yeah, but that wasn't in the trailer. In the trailer, he said, I promise to be firm but cruel.
Yeah, I think the Prima Nocta line was still in there.
I don't think so.
Whatever.
But anyways, neither here nor there.
matters not.
But, so, you know, at the end of it, they're all like, we get the, at the end of the movie, what they present us with is the idea that certain of our Avengers characters are either retiring or stepping out of the way for a while. So Tony's like really kind of rattled up about his role in this whole thing, so he's stepping away. And Hulk is flown off to Timbuktu. He's stepping away. Black Widow is there, but she's, we're not sure how big a role she's going to play in the future because she's clearly rattled by the events. So we're left with only original characters that were, and Thor's got other things to do because he's got these gems to worry about. And so we're only original characters, original Ultron.
That's what the raping joke was.
What?
Prima Nocta.
Oh. Is that what that is? Okay.
The apocryphal, the apocryphal right for a European ruler to have the right to bed any bride in, on her wedding night.
Ah, okay. And that's got to do with the whole Josh Whedon Twitter backlash thing.
Never mind.
Which we're not even going to go into, which is stupid.
Yeah.
All right, so we're left with this idea that the only two original Avengers that are left on the team now are Cap and Scarlet Widow. Thank you, got me doing it.
Black Widow.
It's Cap and Black Widow, and now they've got all these next generation Avengers that they've got to train. They've got Falcon, they've got Vision, they've got Scarlet Witch. It seemed like there was somebody else. It was a fourth one.
War Machine.
So those.
Here's our next Avengers movie that nobody's going to see.
Nobody's going to want to see. So. And so I don't know if this is the point where we start to see.
And was it me or did Scarlet Witch look 10 times better in that last scene than she did during the whole friggin' movie?
She looked good all the way through to me, but yeah, she looked really good there too. But I don't know if it's at this point we start to see the original characters fade away for their eventual replacement. Because I said at some point, you know, Robert Downey Jr. will tire of the role, or Chris Hemsworth will tire of the role, or they'll get too old for it.
I think from what I understand that they're not going to be in the next, like, movie phase, but they will show up at Avengers Infinity War or the second one.
So there's not going to be a Thor movie coming up. There's not going to be.
Well, there will be, but that's what I'm saying. You'll have the ones who retired are the ones who aren't coming back.
Right.
So you had Renner and Iron Man, which were basically the only two who really quit. Thor went back home to do Ragnarok. He'll be back. But what I'm saying is, Iron Man and Hawkeye are done until
such time as we need him. But I've heard Robert Downey Jr. in an interview say that he'll play this role as long as he can.
And then he said that he's not doing it anymore. You don't know until you actually see it what the contracts say or what the will actually happen.
But at some point, whether it's now or later, these characters will eventually have to step away for a while. We'll get substitute B-level Avengers, West Coast Avengers. And then at some point, our mainstream Avengers will come back, but they'll have been recast. And so that with that period of time they step away, maybe 5-6 years, who knows? But it'll be enough time to cleanse the palate and forget about them before they're recast.
But don't you find it funny that it's like the whole island falling into the sea, everyone's off of it. Scarlet Witch is still on the island, and who comes and saves her?
The Hulk.
No.
Who?
Vision does. He flies.
Oh, Scarlet Witch. Yeah. Scarlet Witch. I was thinking of Scarlet Widow there.
Black Widow.
Yeah.
Oh, Scarlet Witch. Because her name's Scarlett Johansson. Again, that's, I was agreeing with you. Okay.
Right.
All right. Right. So, exactly. clearly, it was
her husband, the Vision, who came and saved her.
Right. Foreshadowing their eventual relationship together. So,
you saved me from the crumbling island. I so love
you. Oh, no.
Let's have fake children together.
I like the fact that when Pietro dies, she goes, like it's a great disturbance in the force. She can feel it.
Yes. Well, they were twins. Remember, I'm 12 minutes older than you.
Right.
there was a lot of like age jokes in this, which I thought was kind of funny.
Which is really kind of, you know, age discrimination if you ask me. But anyway,
because the Vision thing is like when Ultron goes, You're foolish, you know that, right? And he goes, well, I may be. I was only born yesterday.
Yes. You're naive. He calls him naive.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, you're so naive. Well, perhaps. I was born just yesterday. And the Vision's got that lovely Jarvis accent, which is awesome. So,
Well, Paul Bettany said, he goes, well, this is be the first movie that I ever actually have to, like, do anything other than speaking.
So all in all, it was a great movie, as I said earlier. And again, it doesn't hardly capture that initial Avengers high that you got from the first movie, because it was your first time. It's like your wedding night. It's never as good as it is the first time, unless you're a woman. That first time's rough. But, I'm misogynistic now. Come on, tell me.
I thought, away from you.
I thought you knew, so sorry.
I'm not speaking from experience. I'm just saying. I'm not Bruce Jenner.
Can we talk about problems?
Problems. Okay, you have problems with the movie?
I thought it was a little long.
I felt good to me. But, I mean, if I'm going to watch the Avengers, I'd like to stay a while.
I'd like to bathe in the every single, like, every character showing up on screen and get 10 minutes yes. of screen time. That's basically why the movie was 2.5 hours long.
Yes. So I'm fine with that. If the movie had been 3 hours or more, I might have been long. But I'm pretty good with where it's at.
Or the whole leaps in logic and stuff.
Well, yeah, but it's a comic book movie. You're going to have leaps in logic. That's the premise of the show. You know, nobody gets irradiated by a gamma radiation bomb and turns into a monster.
I'm just saying, you know, there could be some little bits and pieces that could have been better.
What about the Hulk Black Widow relationship?
Was it forced?
It was suddenly, shockingly there. It just, there was no foreshadowing. There was no reason to see how that developed or why it was. It just, oh, by the way, we dig each other. Okay, yeah, I guess we do. All right.
Well, she dug him. He was kind of...
He's reluctant, but that's because he's a nerd.
Well, he was kind of oblivious to it, yeah. Which I thought was funny, because she asked Nick, she goes, so when y'all teamed us up together, did you know? He goes, what? Y'all make a great team? I did know that.
No, did you know that we might get together? Hey, all I do is... I hope for the best. I settle for what I get.
And he goes, I made a great team. That's what he was.
Yeah.
That's all he said.
So I don't think Nick put them together thinking that they'd get together or anything. I don't think. That doesn't seem like the case. Anyway. But all in all, it was a good movie. I had a really good time with it. I continue to love Captain America, because Captain America epitomizes everything that's great about the United States.
Did you see
unapologetically?
Eric, did you see Eric's retweet the other day?
Nuh-uh. What about it?
He retweeted something that somebody said. And he said basically that Captain America exudes everything we want in a Superman.
Yes, he is everything we would like to have in a Superman character. That's true. That's absolutely true. So he continues to show what's right, good, and true about the United States of America. And he has great lines like, you know, every time somebody tries to win a war by stopping it before early. It starts, innocent people get killed. And things like that. I mean, just he's got this sage-like wisdom because he's been around for a long time and he's seen things.
He is 96 years old.
Well, he's not really. He's just, he's been around that long, but he's not that old. If that makes sense. But neither here nor there.
No, that's...
But he comes from a different time and era where things were simpler. They were more black and white. And he still sees the world that way. And that's great in some ways, because morality should be that simple. Some things are right, some things are wrong, and that's the way Captain America sees the world.
This drink is not for mortal men.
Oh, come on. Neither was Omaha Beach.
Excelsior.
Hey, this is Stan Lee. You remember that time I got drunk with Thor?
Did you see the Audi commercial for cameo acting that he did?
No. Oh, yes, with him and Kevin Smith. You didn't see that?
No. And Rooker.
It did great cameo acting. The difference, Stan Lee was giving him lessons on the difference in cameo acting and regular acting. And somebody was over there crying and going on and said, that's regular acting. Cameo acting is when you're just sitting there reading the paper and don't say anything. It was great.
I'm going to have to look it up.
So, I love me some Stan Lee, so that's awesome. I'm glad he's still alive, up to the point it starts hurting him, and then he should go on. But
What is it with you people?
I'm just saying.
I mean, seriously, it's like you think the best option of not life is death?
No, well, you know, there are things worse than death. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, there are things worse than death.
Yes. You know, living in extreme pain for long periods of time is worse than death.
What I'm saying is, don't you wish for them to get better instead of, yeah, they died.
How old is he? Is he 90?
He's past
92,
90.
I think.
So generally, yeah. Health options are not good for people in that age group. I'm just saying. At some point.
Okay. I just saw world's oldest person who lived smoked cigarettes from age 21 until she was 117.
There are exceptions.
117.
There are exceptions to every rule. She is not the norm.
He could live another 21 more years.
May very well do it. I don't know.
15 more years? Yeah, 15.
So
he does, because I need to meet
him. He may very well be here when Jesus comes back. I mean, you know, that would be fine with me. Because odds are it wouldn't be long in the future if that's the case. But, you know, that's, you know, Stan Lee, I'm my hat's off to him. He's got it, something figured out. He's got Dick Clark and all the rest of them beat, hands down. So.
And not just living, like actual out, you know, doing the cameos.
Well, yeah, he's active.
Still creating books and
yeah, he's not just
cons,
he's not sitting propped up somewhere with a drip on him, you know, still alive. No, I mean he's living life. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite cameo that Stan Lee ever did was the Hef one from Iron Man 2. Hey, Hef, what?
Well, he supposedly is actually playing Hef in that. He's credited as being Hugh Hefner in that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Even though Hugh Hefner did not look like Stanley at that point in time.
All right, so anything else that stood out about the movie that you want to mention before we sign off?
When are they going to get to making that statue from the end of the movie?
I don't know. So David looked at me and said, is that something you can buy? I said, I'm sure it will be.
Because that thing was cool. I mean, you know, how would you like that big, huge, circular thing sitting in your house?
There wouldn't be much room for anything else. You have to move the dining room table and put that thing in there. But Debbie, she's sitting there watching a movie with me. She goes, is that something you can buy? I said, it will be. So,
I mean, they've got the computer model of it. All they need to do is just reproduce
it. Yeah, just mass, you know, 3D print it, whatever you need to do.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was funny because one of the big complaints about the Man of Steel was all the destruction and buildings crashing into. And then every time I turned around, the Hulk was jamming into a building or they were wrecking the train. And
yeah, but they were trying to evacuate at the same time.
Well, you saw like every like little thing. Like,
I thought that woman that Captain America tried to save by grabbing the bumper of her car, I thought she was dead because the bumper broke off and he was sitting there holding the bumper and the car was shoom. And then here comes Thor. I was like, oh my God, he caught her. And then Thor throws her 600-700 feet up and Captain America barely reaches over and gets a hold of her.
That's because he had to save the other car that was falling.
Well, I understand that too, but
did you notice like
there was a lot of room for error there is what I'm saying.
They went out of their way to like even when like Tony like walked in, like saw that building or whatever and said, where can we do less damage? And he picked that empty building or the building that was under construction.
No civilian life signs or whatever.
But
he says, well, I guess we just bought a building.
You know, he goes, how fast do you think we could buy that building?
It was pretty good. The Hulkbuster fight, any thoughts on that?
I liked it.
My favorite part is when he's got the jackhammer punch going on, going, go to sleep.
Or when he finally like grabs him with, then he like turns the thing into it and he like turns into a pair of handcuffs.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh crap.
Because he realized he just became attached to the Hulk.
But yeah, I really enjoyed that. I mean, I liked the whole like.
Well, I didn't know what they were talking about. Like, you always want to look over your shoulder to see if Veronica's coming or whoever, whatever they nicknamed it.
Yeah, Veronica.
And I was like, Veronica? Who's Veronica? And then, uh-oh, time to get out Veronica. And it was the Hulkbuster armor. I was like, oh, that's Veronica.
Well, see, I wonder.
And I like the fact that the thing is an orbiting satellite. When he needs more parts, he can call him down.
Yeah.
Because he lost his arm, and he goes, I need a hand here. And he got a new arm.
Well, that's the part that came to Earth. because Veronica was on the satellite, shot its like little orbiting platform.
Right.
Created the armor.
But it doesn't all get used at once. Yeah. There's pieces in reserve up here that he can call back on. Yeah.
But it wasn't all up satellite. It was still on the one Earth, Earthbound or whatever.
Yeah, so that was a really cool fight. And, like, Tony's just dreading the whole thing. Oh, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this.
Okay. I thought of another little problem.
Oh, another problem. What is it?
The whole point of everyone, and we've said it before, getting out of costume, taking their masks off, not even having a mask or whatever. Like, and the whole, like, first part of Segovia with them, like, yeah, we've infiltrated the base, and Tony's like, yeah, I'm in Strucker's lap. Get out of the suit.
Tony just walks out of the suit. I'm like,
do you really do that in a war zone?
Go into sentry mode. Well, not only that, but I noticed the fact that, like, the whole last half of the movie, Captain America just was helmetless.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just left. Either he lost it somewhere or he left it behind.
And someone said, like, Thor doesn't wear his helmet as much as he does in the comic books.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that he wears it hardly ever in the movies.
That's what I'm saying.
It's almost like ceremonial in the movies, but past that, he doesn't really use it. So.
But yeah, it's like, it just, it's like, that's, and like, you could complain as much as you want about the DC movies, but at least they keep their costumes on, right?
Yeah, Batman doesn't take his cowl off. That's true.
I mean, Green Lantern didn't. It's not like he was like every 2 seconds, hey, it's me, Hal.
Well, yeah, but his costume's not good enough that people couldn't recognize him through it, as noted by Carol Ferris in that movie.
Well, technically, could Clark's.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Glasses, really.
So, all in all, it was a great movie. We loved it. We hope that, you know, as you go and see it, you'll love it too. And it's on my one of all time favorite comic book movie lists. Rates very highly. So,
did you have any problems with the action scenes? Because I heard some people complaining that they weren't realistic or that they were not as good as they were in Cap 2.
No, I didn't have any problems with anything. I'm trying to think now specifically. Because, I mean, it's all comic booky, so it doesn't matter. I mean, anytime you see the Hulk crash through something, I'm like, well, that's the Hulk. That's what he does. So the only fights that involved anybody that would be believable or not believable would be like Black Widow fights or Captain America fights. And so I didn't have any problem with any of their stuff.
I thought the very first fight scene was some of the CGI was a little obvious, but that's nature of the beast, so it didn't bother me any.
Well, see, I kind of can, like, explain that away, is the fact that they used, like, 42 different, like,
animation houses.
Did you
watch the credits?
Seriously, the credits were, like,
visual effects by such and such studio. Visual effects by such and such studio.
I was like, really?
Yeah.
I would be afraid as a director to do that because it wouldn't match.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, why don't you just get ILM to just like do whatever?
Unless they don't have enough
people,
you know? It wouldn't take too long.
But still, it's like visual effects by DOS Bros, visual effects by this, visual effects by this.
By super digital effects guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I did notice that in the credits.
But yeah, the first scene.
And that they credit the personal drivers of all the actors. I noticed that too. Well, driver for Mr. Ruffalo, driver for Mr. Evans.
They always do that though. The drivers, hairstylists, personal assistants. Everyone like that in the movie gets thanked. But we were talking about the whole destruction and everything. I thought it was nice that Daredevil.
Did you notice that? Not to cut you off, did you notice that Captain America's shield was the magnet shield? It wasn't straps?
Yeah.
That was something that was different from the last movie.
Well, that's because Tony said, I'm the one who makes all the gear, makes everyone look cooler, right? Because Black Widow had, like, lights in her costume, and she had the stingers in her hands, and I think there were some in her feet, too.
Right. But I thought, because that was an actual thing in the comics for a while.
Yeah.
That the magnet-backed shield that would just stick to the back of his hand instead of having straps.
Well, I was watching the movie. I was like, wow, is he trying to copy Thor there? Because Because where Thor was like throwing the hammer and he'd like release his hand, then he'd close it so the hammer would like fly go past him and hit someone behind him. I thought that was funny. But yeah, it's like
it was kind of a stretch when Black Widow dropped out of the airplane on a motorcycle. That motorcycle would just crush to pieces.
Probably not.
No, yeah, from there. I mean, we're talking 15, 20 feet off the ground. Yeah, there probably wouldn't have been much left of the motorcycle. Unless it's just, you know, super comic book motorcycle. And if that's the case, it's fine. Yeah.
It's a movie, John.
Well, yeah, I was trying to think of things that were unbelievable.
But no, the whole, what was I going to say?
Not the island floating in the sky. That wasn't unbelievable. Yeah. It's the motorcycle, yeah.
The big green gamma guy and the arrow guy and the girl creating red blasts with her hands. That's okay, but... Super motorcycle. What?
There's no way that Hawkeye would have used that one kind of finish on his room that he was remodeling. That's just crazy.
No, the whole thing with like Daredevil, I thought it was nice that they actually acknowledged that people died in the first Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Which I think is a nod to like most Marvel zombies to be like, oh, no one died in the Avengers movies. No one died in that movie.
And I think that they should be... I'm not saying that there should be millions and millions of casualties, but I think when you have a movie like this, it's unrealistic for you to think that nobody's going to die. And so I wouldn't have had a problem with Captain America, that bumper that he was holding on to and it broke. I wouldn't have had a problem if nobody saved her.
If that woman would have died.
But, I mean, it would have been awful, but...
That poor woman!
Then everybody would have been on waiting about the fact that he killed some innocent woman in a car. You know, I don't know. But I wouldn't have had a problem.
They'd probably get on to Joss Whedon for allowing some poor woman to die.
You're obviously a feminist, a sexist, because you let a woman die in a car. Why wasn't it a man that died in the car? But neither here nor there. But no, I wouldn't have had a problem if she'd fell to her death, because that would have shown, like, you could have shown the impact it had on Captain America, how deeply he felt that, like, oh my, you know, you could have seen the emotion on his face when that happened, and his then determination to kill Ultron or whatever.
But do you think it was the whole Joss Whedon didn't want to do everything as trilogy way?
Meaning what?
Like, you know, it's like everyone, like...
Everyone makes a trilogy? Lord of the Rings?
No, like, if these are a trilogy or films or whatever, the second one is always darker.
Oh, well, because
this one didn't necessarily seem darker than the first movie.
No, it seemed about the same as far as that's concerned.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do you think he was trying to get...
I don't know if he was conscious of that or not, or if he just sees it as the next Marvel movie. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that these Avengers movies stand out by themselves as Avengers 1, Avengers 2, Avengers 3, whatever. I think they're just the next movie in the Marvel movie line. And so if by that case, this is MCU number 7, 8, wherever we're at.
Did you notice the theological, like, comparisons that were in the movie?
Example.
Like, technology is better than God, all that other stuff.
No,
like, Jarvis is my co-pilot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did see that, but I just thought it was funny. I didn't think they were making any commentary.
And then, like, later on where Ultron compares himself to God.
Well, yeah, but that's something Ultron would say. So, no, but I
just thought it was funny.
I don't,
like,
think there was meta commentary intentionally there.
Well, what I'm saying, in if there was, it seemed like they were, like, the technology was not better than the theological stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seemed to me like they made a lot of references, at least three or four of them, into them, but. Who knows?
Yeah. All right, so standout performance. Who was your favorite?
Renner. Hawkeye.
Hawkeye. Nuggy, standout performance. Who was your favorite?
Still Captain America.
Captain America. Well, they were also good.
You're talking about Sergeant Rockman over there. Of course he's going to go for red, white, and blue.
Well, I think John said it before. Chris Evans just plays it so well and you know, All-American and... Apple pie and the whole deal.
You want to love him and you want to believe in him and he inspires you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could also say the same about Brandon Routh in Arrow.
Well, yeah, that's only because in my mind he's Superman.
He's still Superman.
Yeah. So,
same question you, John.
Standout performance for me, I think maybe it was Scarlett Johansson, because she, when she was talking about the Red Room and the stuff she went through, as opposed to the feminazis on the internet who are, you know, lampooning Whedon because he made what they considered a misogynist film, I really thought that her being in touch with what happened to her and opening up about it a little bit was really touching and good. I really liked it. So I thought she carried that scene very well and was, you know, dealing with the, still to this day deals with the pain of it as she tries to resist her programming and be a normal person to some degree.
Yeah.
So that was really good. And I always love Thor because Thor is just a great character.
You dare defy Thor, God of Thunder, bringer of all the storms, and I'm running out of things to say.
This will be a mighty battle because I am indeed mighty.
And I'm running out of things to say. I really did love that whole hammer thing. Because you
and the Vision looks at it at one point and goes, it's remarkably well balanced. Well, if it's too heavy, it reduces your swing speed.
But no, I like the whole thing where it's like, in the beginning, you see Thor, he's really like proud of the fact that
nobody can lift it.
And then Cap budges it, and you see his eyes go.
He's like, what? Is he worthy? Is he?
And then he doesn't move it at all, and he's like, ha, 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 like that.
Yeah, yeah, I told you all weren't worthy. Yeah, yeah. That reinforces how I feel about myself.
He's like, simple explanation, y'all just aren't worthy. And then Vision just picks it up, and he's like, okay.
Hey, I think it would be funny if every time that Thor got the least bit prideful or arrogant, he couldn't pick it up anymore. It's like, it's kind of like, you know, how sometime in Christian circles, you're supposed to feel condemned when you get too haughty or get too pious or get too better than thou or holier than thou or something. So every time that he comes off and does something he shouldn't do, suddenly can't lift the hammer and mark. Dang it, Dad. This thing only works about half the time. All right, All Father, I'm very sorry for the way I acted. And then, oh, here it works. Now, thank you.
And then that whole scene with him and Vision. Yeah, it's a little off balance. Yeah, you got to have it more weight on it just so you get to the further swing.
So anyway, it was a great movie. You should go see it. Any final thoughts on that, guys?
No, I'm good.
All right. So, Nuggie, any final thoughts on that?
No, I'm good, I think.
All right, good deal. All right, so you can catch us on the internet. That's all for Avengers Ultron. But like I said, we're always online. You can talk to us anytime you want to. Twitter's maybe the easiest place to just shout out a message to us. Twitter.com/AR_podcast.
Even though none of you ever will.
No, nobody ever talks to me on Twitter. Well, I've got a closed account because of various reasons. But if you like send me something saying I'm a big fan of the show, I'll let you in. But anyway, Twitter.com/AR_podcast for the show. And you can send that to the AR podcast show Twitter thing, so I'll know it's you. And then, or you can follow me personally at Twitter.com/John Lovelace, Twitter.com/XOnslaught for Charlie, Twitter.com/@Nuggie99 for Mr. John Wimmer. You can always catch us on the Facebook. There's an alternate reality page. You can look it up. You can like it. And rarely actually, but sometimes we're over there and you can see what we're talking about over there, or you can just catch us on Facebook in general, search for us and you should be able to find us. Anything to add to that, guys?
No.
So I don't know when we'll next be able to get together. There's not anything coming up on the horizon shortly that we might talk about. I know we've got, well, I know, but I mean, I'm talking about big deal movies. You know, I'm not talking about, we're probably not going to do an Arnold Schwarzenegger Maggie review. Even though that kind of looks pretty good, I think. But I was trying to look at my calendar here real quick because I've got.
Well, there's always Ant-Man. There's
Ant-Man. So Mad Max is coming out. We probably won't do that. San Andreas. We probably won't do that.
I'm not gonna do San Andreas.
Well, I don't know.
The Rock's big destruction movie.
Jurassic World.
Oh, I cannot wait for that movie.
We might do that one. Ant-Man is in July. Uh, Fantastic Four is in August.
No.
You're not doing that one?
No. Well, and, seeing as it's already gotten Josh Trank fired from directing one of the Star Wars offshoot movies.
We should have Star Wars by Christmas. And Terminator, 1st of July. It falls in the middle of the week on July 1st, on Wednesday. Which me and Charlie are in some disagreement as to whether or not that looks any good. He said it looks all right. I was like, I don't know.
It's the trick reboot of Terminator.
It doesn't seem to me like this is as big a year as other years for comic book movies, but we've still got several shows coming out. So I don't know. We may do some kind of TV recap after the season finales if everything comes out, too. So that may happen. Because I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about with Flash. Oh, my God. The best show on TV. So...
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's it. What?
Cut it off.
That's it. So that's it for this time, and until next time. And in the meantime, well, it's been a while since I've said that. I kind of had to remember how it went. My name is John.
I'm Charlie.
I am also John.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. And we're out. You guys have a good night. I was like, what you trying to pull? Oh, I guess you are. Okay, my bad.
What episode number?
382.
All right, let me write it down or I'll forget.
Because I know I can't do it tomorrow because I edit anyway because I've got to go to Ann's band recital tomorrow night. All right, Nugget, anytime you're ready. Tell me when you're ready and I'll go 3, 2, 1. You ready?
All right.
All right. In three. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. In 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to Alternate Reality Episode 382.
Cut. That sucks.
Yeah, I missed it.
just fly casual, as Han Solo would say.
All right.
Sounds like we're all congested.
It is true.
Little, yeah.
All right, do it again. In 3, 2, 1.